Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blog and News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and today we're going to do something slightly different. My guest is TJ Hart, the news director for The Sky 97.3 out of Gainesville, Florida. He is also very much a hands-on reporter, and one of the few that through thick and thin has vowed to cover the Haley Cummings case to its conclusion. Much of his investigations have been done on his own time and at the expense of time spent with his family. TJ, it is great to talk to you.
Simon, old friend, it's great to be with you one-on-one. This is a unique opportunity, and I really look forward to this half hour.
One of the problems I have is that, you know, we run a regular show on Sundays, and we never actually get to the heart of anything. I mean, it's too busy. There are callers with questions, and I thought it would be splendid to just spend a little time one-on-one, you know, and we can actually talk about a few of the aspects of this case. I guess the big news last week was the press release.
Yes.
There's more to that simple document than meets the eye. The cops are clearly trying to smoke out Misty.
Is that
your take?
It very much is. And if you take apart that press release line by line and read between a few of the lines, they are telling so much without saying a word. First and foremost, on Monday, which was Haley's birthday, to some of our radio listeners here on Blog Talk Radio who did not receive the news, the biological parents, Ronald Cummings and Crystal Sheffield, were cleared publicly of suspicion in the abduction of their daughter, Haley Cummings, who was taken from her Satsuma home at Hermit's Cove on February 10th of 2009, 6 months ago. Now, Monday, she turned 6 years old. It was a very sad day, but it was also probably very good timing for the Putnam County Sheriff's Office to release what information they had on the case. Not only did they clear the parents of suspicion in this abduction of this precious little girl, they also firmed up their notion that this was no stranger who took the child. Now, I was on Nancy Grace last night on Headline News, and the first thing I told her was that door had to be open, and there was no sign of forced entry, to which Ms. Grace said, well, we knew that early on. I said, what you didn't know is that door had to be removed off its hinges once our Headline News crews were in there with Marlena Shivo and Teresa Neves and yours truly, and it had to be reprocessed once again because they thought they missed something. Now, without a doubt, they realized that there was absolutely no forced entry into that back door, if indeed that's where the culprit came in. Also, they have pointed out that much of the evidence gathered in the case does not quite sit congruently with the stories that Misty Crosland Cummings has told police in her 10-plus interviews with police. They have just not added up. And I know that I have reported on this ad nauseum. It was true the first week, it was true the second week, and it's true now, 6 months into the investigation. Until Misty Crosland Cummings comes clear and comes clean, we will never know what happened to that child. She cannot keep her story straight. Police know that. Investigators all up and down the line from Putnam County to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to the FBI are frustrated to no end with this young lady and her inability to get her story straight. She just has not been able to put together a timeline that matches up with anything. So many factors are a bit disjointed. And it has been alluded to in the past that there's every possibility and most likely a probability that Haley's new stepmom, Ron's then-girlfriend, Misty Crosland Cummings, might not have been at that trailer when this child was abducted.
What I find interesting, though, is, again, reading between the lines of this press release, is the fact that they're not saying Misty is a suspect.
Clearly they're not saying that.
Right. It's where the hell was Misty?
That is where this is all leading to, and I think this button should have been pushed months ago, but law enforcement has its reasons for doing what it does. They have told me on numerous occasions that there is one piece of the puzzle missing, and once they find that piece of the puzzle that fits, they will unlock the mystery as to the fate of young Haley Cummings. Get this. In this press release, in no uncertain terms did they hold back. Law enforcement officials are publicly encouraging any citizen with any direct knowledge of Misty's activities during that evening or into the early morning to report that information to the Putnam County Sheriff's Office. It gets no plainer than that, Simon.
Oh, you've got that right. You're the man on the ground. Have you had any family response about the press release?
Yeah, and pretty much it has been from Teresa Neves, Ronald's mother. And she always has been supportive of Ronald, and she has been a supportive mother-in-law for Misty. In fact, in one publication, she's quoted as saying, look, the girl has not much more than a seventh grade education. She just gets confused. She just gets befuddled to some degree. Today, she was on the early show on CBS this morning, and she said she doesn't think that Misty had anything to do with the disappearance. And in fact, she's quoted, I hope she didn't, which now is a step back. I hope she didn't. I don't think she did, but I hope she didn't, referring to the investigation. This will hopefully clear up some things, and they'll know what's going on, she goes on to say.
Well, of course.
That kind of goes both ways, doesn't it, without making a commitment?
Yeah, I mean, you really can cut that cloth two ways.
Mm-hmm.
She could have a non-participatory involvement in that she wasn't there to protect the little girl.
Come again, Simon. I had a crackle on my phone.
Okay. She could have a non-participatory...
Yes. It's kind of like an omission. Not being there is an omission. She didn't set up or conspire or create anything in allegiance with anyone to have the child abducted, but simply perhaps not being there is neglectful, if that is the case. So, yes, I do understand what you're saying there.
No stranger abduction. I keep hearing this over and over again from law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a family member or a close friend.
Or a neighbor.
Or a neighbor. Now, that's a good point. But how can you keep a child hidden for 6 months?
That's very interesting. That is very interesting how that could be done. That a child could be transported from home to home weeks at a time. A child could be even taken out of the country. Or there's the unfortunate thought that none of us want to think, that the child was just not with us anymore. But keeping the child alive, especially with Turner syndrome, where she has special needs, sometimes aches and pains, very susceptible to infections, colds, flus, the like, sometimes in need of a breathing instrument, it would be very, very difficult. And I don't want to paint a story that indicates that Haley may not be with us. Putnam County Sheriff's Office, FDLE, FBI, all believe that at this time it is prudent to proceed looking for a live child. There is no evidence at this point to support otherwise. So they're going to have to go on with that. But as far as the difficulty, yeah, I've even heard theories that the child might be in a safe house, and people running the safe house have no idea who she is. I find that highly unlikely due to the nature of the publicity, the national television, the national press, at different times during these past 6 months, that could be the case. But it is still a theory that some have come up with.
I worked for, I think it was 6.5 years, running a computer lab out of a homeless shelter. And while we didn't cater to children, mm-hmm. We only catered to adults,
mm-hmm.
I find it absolutely impossible to think that, you know, we would have sheltered someone that, we knew was wanted somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this whole idea that, you know, it's some, you know, benevolent organization looking after it doesn't hold any water for me.
No, it was a nice thing to think possible that it was somebody trying to save a child from her environment, and the Good Samaritan thing is just not a viable thing right now. You know, what was interesting about this whole ordeal was in the beginning, Simon, and it revolves around this Cousin Joe character that was talked about in the first 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, rather, of the child's disappearance. The Crosland family was very quick to throw Cousin Joe under the bus, and that raised my suspicion that perhaps maybe they knew that Misty might not have been there, that Misty might have been, you know, down the block. She might have been out buying a package of cigarettes, underage and all, breaking the law, and have left the kids alone momentarily. And the first thing to do is perhaps, and this is only a theory, is blame it on some guy who's had trouble with the law before, breaking and entering, and had issues with the young girls. And he would have fit the description. So
okay, I mean, I like the idea that, you know, she was only missing momentarily, but that really doesn't wash. You know, here you are, you're 17, you're playing the, she wasn't a child bride back then, but,
no.
Lover, caregiver. So you're gone for 10 minutes. You come back and you discover that, you know, one of the children's missing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, doesn't work.
Well, the thing is that the closest place for her to walk down and buy cigarettes would have been to a Citgo station, and that was quite a walk unless she had a ride someplace, perhaps in that van. We don't know. There are other places that there were reports of a party going on a few trailers down in that area across the way, and it would have been a pretty far walk. Now, remember, she had been reported out partying with a trio of people, actually several, Christina Renee Pravat, who was basically acting as a chauffeur. Also on this week leading up to the child's disappearance, she was with a woman with whom she didn't get along with, and she didn't get along with the woman's mother at all. This is a woman who had a son to Ronald Cummings. This is Amber Brooks, who's now behind bars for failure to appear. Back in the late fall, early winter, there had been a fallout with the two girls, some sniping on a MySpace page, and also some allegations of physical violence, assault and battery, where it is alleged that Amber Brooks' mother, Mary, punched Misty in defense of her own daughter, Amber. And Mary Brooks has not shown up for that hearing or that trial. She's been in Virginia, and her daughter, Amber, apparently went up there and came back. And when she returned, this woman was picked up, ironically, at the same place where Nene Pravat was. I filmed being pulled out of a house of ill repute behind the Huddle House off Krill Avenue in Palatka, the same place. Get your clothes on, you're going to jail. And, there are a lot of things that are kind of going on here. And also during that time period, this is where Misty hooked up with a man by the name of Greg Page, and the two had a sex and drug binge for about 3 or 4 days prior to the child's disappearance. Now, you're in a party mood, you're in a party mode, you kind of settled down, maybe one more last party before you perhaps settle down for good. You go check out what's going on. This is just a theory, this is just an allegation. And then what happens? Well, you're gone. Well, are there any loose ends with that fallout with Miss Brooks? You have to investigate that. You have to investigate that relationship. You also have to investigate a little further who do Pravat and Brooks have in common as far as people they hang with. Are there other people? Are there nefarious folks they work for? Well, let's see. You're working in a house of ill repute for drugs and money. There are people. So what connection is there? We still go back to week four with these relationships. And you go through your flow chart, you go through your patterns, and you go through a variety of different things. Was it someone that Misty bought, you know, other things? Maybe, you know, this is only a perhaps. I have nothing to say that she does smoke marijuana, but perhaps maybe a supplier for pills or perhaps marijuana. You know, is this some kind of a gotcha? Is this some kind of a retribution? Or is this some kind of an opportunity for someone who might have had pedophilic tendencies and kept them well hidden until this point? We don't know. It's just so wide open. But it's narrowing down on Misty. Where were you? Come clean. And now the pressure's on. Ellie wants the information. They want the eyes of the community to come back out. They're tired of hearing the stories. They want proof. They want evidence. And without having anything with which to charge her, to keep her in jail, to sweat her at this point in time, legitimately, and they can't do that, and she's refusing to answer questions these days, they have to put the pressure on somewhere. And I think by putting it out there in the public and putting the squeeze on very much out there in public, this is the right thing that they need to do in order to get this woman to talk.
Oh, and I'm with you. I share your frustration with law enforcement. I mean, 6 months and they have been relatively tight-lipped. You know, unless they have something definitive to say, they're not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're probably also in agreement that you know, developments online by certain people have not really ingratiated the press in law enforcement's eyes. You know, we're stuck.
Yes, and in fact, in the press release, it did mention the fact that you need to be watching out who you talk to. There are posers out there on the blogosphere, a fellow by the name of Merton. Another fellow, a couple of other fellows have, the warnings have been raised that they say they're new media reporters. And they're actually nothing more than bloggers with nothing better to do than to stir it up and try to make a name for themselves and insert themselves into a national story. Folks, you need to be watching out. If it's not someone you know, it's not someone you've heard of, it's not someone you trust, shut up. That's all I got to say. I'd rather have somebody tell me no because they hadn't heard of me than to go on and you know, that way at least I know this person has some sensibility about them. So,
right.
Go ahead, Simon.
No. You carry on. You're having a good rant.
No, I don't mean this to be a rant. I'm just saying, just because someone asks you a question, you're not obligated to answer it.
Right.
And that's all I'm saying to the fine folks of Putnam County right now is that I know you want to help. I know your heart's there. God, I know your passion. God, I know your anger. And golly, do I know your frustration. But just because someone says they're a reporter, ask them where they're from. Ask them to show credentials. Make it, you know, just as important as if it were someone posing as a law enforcement officer. Okay? Check them out before you talk.
The you and I are a party to a great deal of scuttlebutt that luckily doesn't make the press. And
mm-hmm.
I have to admit that much of it I find deeply, deeply distressing and deeply disturbing.
And Simon, I'd like for you to go on a bit of a tangent here for a second as I leave the program for just a moment. Now, we'll be right back with you, but please go on with that because you and I have talked about this numerous times, and I am in full agreement with you. I'd love to hear how you share that with the audience.
Okay, I think TJ has just departed.
Just for a brief moment, and this relates to the case, and I got to get this.
Okay.
Because we might have breaking news here in a moment.
All right.
Okay, hang on.
No, it really does bother me. The press is never ever completely fair. Everyone has an angle. If we're talking politics, you're left-wing or you're right-wing. You know, if you're talking a crime story, you're either, pro the person that did it, or you're saying, no, there's the, benefit of the doubt. You know, people need to have their space. People deserve the right to be heard by the jury. This case really, really does bother me. It hasn't been fairly reported that there are so many people out there that, are claiming to be journalists, and yet all they're really doing is inventing news. TJ mentioned one character, but there are several others out there. There's one in particular that came out with a delightful story about how the Cummings family had done some creative work with Photoshop, the Sheffield family, inserting crystal into a family picture. Well, I read the story. I looked at the picture and I went, well, who cares? Does it really matter? If someone doesn't have any family pictures or enough family pictures, sure, Photoshop it. But it's not pertinent to the case.
Simon?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm back with you, and I apologize for the delay. That was CNN. We are going to be covering once again the story of Haley Cummings tonight with the very subject that we're talking about right now. I don't know if they had their little ears on, but they're going to go with this Misty Flair, the Misty aspect of it tonight, and it will be on Prime News on HLN with our good friend Mike Galanos. And we will probably be picking up this very discussion that we're having right now.
That's splendid. What time?
Right now it appears it will be in the 6 o'clock hour Eastern time. They're going through their final meetings right now, and we'll have an update on that shortly. And again, sorry for the delay, but when that came in, there were some other things that came in. I have to ferret them out. I was hoping to bring you some breaking news during this program, and right now I have to verify it. As you know, I go through four sources as opposed to the traditional three, and
Or the blogger Nun.
What's that?
The blogger no sources.
I thought you were projecting some holiness. I thought you said the blogger none is an N-U-N.
Okay. This Misty thing,
yes,
really has me baffled.
Yeah, and it should.
She's not at home.
Yes.
Where the hell was she? It couldn't possibly have been a local bar. It
It's a long walk, but the party aspect is the one I think that they're really looking at, because there were so many accounts and reports and people who just didn't want to go on the damn record, Simon. These were people who, you know, weren't hanging with each other that night but lived in the area, who knew where that party was.
Okay, does, you know, this bring up Amber Brooks, Nene? I mean, she had to be in a private residence.
Yeah, that brings it all to mind. If indeed that's where she was, you know, the other thing is that, you know, was she so out of it with fatigue, you know, chasing after two young children? Were there other things that may have compromised her ability to, you know, stay clear or stay focused time?
You mean just coming off a 3-day drug binge?
Well, that could be alleged. You hate it when I go off and don't do the opinion and only do the fact. I know you do. But that, you know, there is that allegation. You know, and it appears that the truth only has one story, but falsehoods have many trails.
Oh, that I can't remember the exact quote now. But, I mean,
neither can I, but a good friend of ours said it, and he says a lot of things.
There is only one version of the truth.
That is correct.
And if you tell the truth, you can't screw up.
That's very, very true. So the truth is what we're looking for here. The truth is what the law enforcement folks are trying to squeeze out of Misty Crosland Cummings at this point. Like, and again, we must underscore this factually. She is not a suspect. They have made that very, very clear. But they believe that her inconsistencies, if they can shore these up, that's point one. It's hard to go over the fence in any other direction when you don't have the starting gate. If she can just come clean and get this shorn up, who are you protecting? Are you protecting yourself? Are you protecting somebody else? Are you trying to protect somebody's feelings here? Now, how about the feelings of your husband? How about the feelings of your new stepson? How about the feelings of the new family you married into? How about the feelings of America? How about the feelings of the child that's missing? I got on my rant, Simon.
It was well done. Is this news enough to stir up the mainstream media again?
It has. CBS Early Show it was falling in on this very same thing that we did last night on the Nancy Grace show, and when Nancy asked that I be on the show last night, I knew that the rest would follow. I'd been on Prime News on Monday night. Jane Velez Mitchell had Art Harris on that very same night talking about this story, and Nancy made the comment that if it wasn't, there wasn't anything really going on in the story, no movement other than you know, people basically throwing garbage at each other over the fence, and a lot of sniping and, you know, family squabbles, but this is the real significant traction that the story needed in order to be put back into the forefront, and it has. CBS has picked it up. I believe that ABC and Fox will be doing the same thing.
I just finished reading a book. It's by a new author, Eric Wentz, and the title is Piercing the Veil.
Yes.
And I think it's a delightful title. Let's pierce the veil of CNN and HLN.
I got to tell you, and I've also done a little bit of stuff with Fox. What happens is I'm a local reporter. I just happen to be doing this, and I've sent a lot of people on their merry way into the larger television and radio markets throughout my whole career. I train people. I train them up, and I send them on their way. And, you know, some good things came back around some time ago when we had this Don't Tase Me Bro thing happen at the University of Florida with a student who was tasered at a John Kerry speech. And they said, get that fuzzy little fellow T.J. Hart, while I deferred it to one of my other guys. And they decided that after that they wanted to have me do stories in relation to Haley Cummings and also to the family that was shot and killed out there in Panama City with all those disabled kids. But what happens is that I will write my stories, and I will put them on my air. I will put them on my website. I share a lot of material with bloggernews.net, And thank you, Simon. And then what happens after that, CNN will call and say, what you got? HLN will say, will call and say, what you got? We don't have a reporter that it's ours. Would you like to be a part of this tonight? They make a call. They do two or three pre-interviews. And then you're on the air, and you hope to God the questions they pre-interviewed you on are the ones that the host is going to ask you, and nine times out of ten, they're not. So you have to be on your toes. I find that Prime News is very, very good to work with. It's more of the format that I'm used to in talk radio. Jane Velez Mitchell, 30 years as a stand-up network reporter. She and I are cut from the same bowl of cloth. Nancy is a prosecutor. I have to be on my toes with Nancy because Miss Nancy knows how to work a jury, and she is finding how to work an audience, too. So you really have to pay attention. You can't go looking off into space, or she'll come right to you and, bam, right between the eyes, you got the deer in the headlights look. So it's really quite good the way they do things. They do rely on the local people who are there on the ground to get the story to them first, fast and efficiently and accurately.
I watched Nancy last night. You were on the show, as you pointed out. The problem I have with Nancy is that she rarely goes to any depth. You know, she prefers to have a 10-second soundbite from someone and then hand it over to her, quote, panel of experts.
Yes, that's usually the way it is. If I don't get it done in 10 or 15 seconds, it's Gloria Allred! Oh, geez, okay. or whoever's on the panel, you know. And she's quite good at being the traffic cop. She's trying to keep the show moving, and you got to do that for ratings. You really do. You got to keep the picture moving. You got to keep the sound moving. So being clear and concise in short form is really the key there. But last night I was given an opening, and it was the result of this is another behind the scenes. I was asked a question by a caller, and my telephone line crackled. I had storms in the area, and I couldn't hear the question, and I wasn't going to answer it, so I just gave dead air. And then the producer came on, and it gave me an opportunity to say, hey, look, you know, the next big thing about this is, the Misty thing and the police putting out the alert to report her whereabouts if you saw her the night of the disappearance. I said, that's pretty key. That's pretty focal right here. So it turned out to be a lightning strike and a crackle on the phone line, turned the whole story around, and Nancy gave me the opening. She's very gracious, and she let me go 30 to 45 seconds to get out the Texas EquiSearch thing and also the Misty thing, which really turned the whole segment around.
I timed it. It was 46 seconds, and I don't think I have ever seen Nancy let anyone talk for 46 seconds.
Well, she's pretty nice with me. I mean, she really is. We got off to a bad start because the first question she ever asked me, we had a train blow through by the tents out there at the River Villas near Hermit's Cove out there in the Satsuma area. She says, and now let's go to T.J. Hart. T.J. Hart, whomp, we had the Super Chief 36 feet from us going right past us. And, you know, it kind of damages the guy's credibility right there. So I had to earn it back slowly, but I think she and I have a very good working relationship. I always appreciate her staff. They're very accommodating, and, they're really wonderful people, especially Marlena Shivo. She was the lady, by the way, who demonstrated the door and the trailer and the interior workings and gave you the walkthrough last night on the Nancy Grace Show.
Right. Going back to this door, and I'm not going to play the song. It's okay. All right, you're safe.
Good.
There's more to this door than meets the eye.
Yeah, there is. There has to be, and that's why I brought it up again last night on the Nancy Grace Show, and I don't know if I got everything I had to say out on the show, but the fact of the matter was they saw something, they had to see something, after that episode aired where Marlena Shivo was going through the walkthrough with Teresa Neves in the trailer, and I walked through there later the next day. And there was something that Marlena, I believe, demonstrated on camera that maybe they weren't expecting. Because not too long after that, and this is not verified by law enforcement. This is just TJ on a hunch. Okay, I want to make that very, very clear for the folks out there in the blogosphere. This is just a hunch and nothing verified by law enforcement. But evidently, the timing was just kind of ironic that shortly after that aired, that door was taken off its hinges and processed again with FDLD. It had been returned since and. You know, fully functional for the new resident there.
I'm still bothered by...
I'm thinking, they were looking at a lockpick situation where it may have
right.
been a fine-tuned instrument instead of somebody just, taking a screwdriver to it and, wrecking the thing.
Well, if it was not a stranger abduction, lockpicking sounds unlikely.
There's a deadbolt from the inside, so, a lot of things that don't make sense.
Right. Why not walk in the front door?
Yeah, why not? It's a longer walk. It's a hell of a lot longer walk. It's pretty much a straight shot through the back door. But, that's where the light was on, in the living room.
And then there's this brick thing.
There was. It was propped open. But wait a minute. Oh, no. Wait. There's a brick. Door's open. Brick. Yeah, I heard that on the 911 call.
Yeah, this case has me so frustrated, and I know it has you frustrated. What can we do? We as the press.
Well, right now we just have to keep the story alive. We have to we need to keep telling the truth. We need to. Also realize that law enforcement wants to use the press as a tool in this case, as they have asked, people to come forward with Misty's whereabouts. They want us in certain instances to keep the story out there to a degree, but they do not appreciate some of the fanciful stuff that's been coming out of the pike. And we're all human, and sometimes we make mistakes, and sometimes we jump the gun on things. Like a few weeks ago, I made mention of Texas Equisearch coming, and then it was negated, and then 3 weeks later, it's back on. So, and that was a case where the fourth source of verification didn't come through, and I went with three. But I made a mistake, and I apologize for it. Turned out to be the truth all along. But we do all make mistakes, but there are some folks who are out there to make sure that there are slants, there is direction, there is an agenda behind the things that they post and as they pose as journalists. And I will not name names because that's for the consumer to decide. Ooh. It's a free market. And it's a market of free ideas. I'm not going to quash the First Amendment on anybody's head. But I'll just say, be careful where you get your information. Make sure it's verifiable. Make sure that the people do take the time to vet their sources. It's easy to get burned if you're a person who hasn't done this for quite a while, or if you're a person just starting your own website to do, quote, news. People will tell you anything to be a star.
Indeed. I've had some classics, and indeed, I'm sure you have.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've got 3 hours of phone calls that are classics, and that's just this case.
TJ, alas, our time is up, but I really want to thank you for taking time out today to talk to me. Our conversations generally are rushed little things on Sundays, and I think this program actually does a lot. It shows that people do care, and we, the members of the press, do check our facts before we talk. Think about all those delightful stories we could write if we didn't check our facts.
Well, yeah, we'd be in jail. We would be sued to the generation of our great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. And, you know, it's never a good day to get sued, Simon.
No, it's not.
It would be juicy and it would be fun, and there would be a lot of hurt people and a lot of hurt feelings. There were some things that were going on during a lull in the story that sure on the outset looked like, boy, this would be a great story for a day, but what are the long-term repercussions? Well, you know what? The long-term repercussions is, who the hell is going to believe you after that?
Right.
And without going any further, that's when I decided, you know, let's stick to things that matter.
TJ, I really do have to close this show, but it has been wonderful talking to you.
Thank you very much, Simon. It's been wonderful talking to you. And the next time, I swear to you, I'm throwing my cell phone away before the show starts, and it's nothing but this.
Ah, the battery joke.
Well, you know, in my situation, I do have a lot of things that keep tugging at my shirt that I must do. But all due respect to you, my good friend. The next time we do this, there will be no interruptions.
And for our listeners, remember to watch Prime News at 6 p.m. Eastern, is it?
Yes, pending further notice, because there are times when other things happen and we do get bumped, but as of the time of this discussion, 6 p.m.
Okay. TJ, have a great afternoon.
You have a better one, sir.
Okay, bye.